Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening thankful for your blessing to allow this gospel meeting call to continue. We're thankful, Lord, for you blessing this evangelistic effort, for blessing this ministry to allow those who have never heard the gospel to hear the truth proclaimed by faithful gospel preachers of your Son's church, the Church of Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for the edification that this call is able to offer members of the church who listen in every single night. Lord, we know that your word will always never return to you void, but we pray, Lord, that every evening we are blessed to have this opportunity, that your word have free course, that someone listening may hear the pure and unadulterated gospel of your Son Jesus, appreciate the sacrifice he made at Calvary, and move with a sense of urgency to obey the gospel before it is eternally and lasting too late. Be with Brother Josh Moss this evening, Lord, that he'd be able to proclaim those facts, those necessities that every person must hear to be saved. And pray, Lord, that someone listening tonight will step forward, will inquire as to what is required of them to be saved, or who will understand the message that Brother Moss will proclaim, that someone is willing to walk away from their former selves, from their former way of life, from their former religion, and to put upon your Son in baptism and become a member of the one church, the Church of Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We are very thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call. We're very thankful, especially for those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You're our VIP of this call. And we pray now you open your Bible, take your pen and paper, and take notes on things that our speaker will talk about tonight. Our speaker in person, Brother Joshua Moss, is the minister of the South Greenville Church of Christ, there in Greenville, North Carolina. And tonight he will speak with to us. So at this time, we'll give the call to Brother Moss. Tell us about that, Brother Moss.
First of all, I'd like to say good evening to everyone, and I'm just so thankful for this opportunity, this great effort that is being made and put forth in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thankful to God for allowing us to do this tonight, for Brother Tommy Brooks and everyone involved in putting this together. And I'm thankful for little old me being able to be involved and share a message with you all tonight. And I pray that as the song goes, and I like to use this to keep myself humble, but it's also true, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about this somebody who can save anybody. Again, I am Brother Joshua Moss from the South Greenville Church of Christ here in Greenville, North Carolina, and I'm just very thankful to be with you all on tonight. I got to think, and I know it's not quite midnight yet, but it made me think about what the Bible says, that Paul preached until midnight, and we're close to it where I live. It's a little after 10 here. But yet again, I'm just so very excited and joyful. I'm thankful to Brother Tommy Brooks for keeping me on my toes, making sure that I was ready and prepared for tonight. And prayerfully, you all can hear me well. As you have been told, the message for tonight is that thus it reads, we must repent and be baptized. When we think about the world today, and the way that it looks, the shambles that it seems to be in, we have to look at it as a reality and a truth. When we look at the struggles that people are having, when we look at the divisions that are that our world is stricken with, when we look at the sicknesses, when we look at the sin that exists, and if truth be told, sometimes we can look inside of our own lives and see some of these issues and how they've grown in our lives. And the fact of the matter is, people, even though we might not want to admit it, we are looking for answers. How does it get better? What do we need to do to change the way things are? What can I do to live a better life? What am I living for? What is my purpose? And I know that there's so much going on right now with the pandemic. We just kind of somewhat finished a political race that is still kind of drugging along. And there's so much going on. But my encouragement to you tonight is that this isn't the first time the world has looked this way. My encouragement to you tonight is that the answer that you are looking for is the same answer that was then, the same answer that is now, and the same answer that always will be. And that answer is Jesus the Christ. And so as we talk tonight, as we study God's word, I hope that you ponder that question. If you have not yet, how do I get inside of Jesus Christ? How do I come to know him? How do I become one of his? How do I become a Christian? When I think of talking about repenting and being baptized, I think about the first gospel sermon that was ever preached. We find that in Acts chapter 2, where Peter was doing the speaking. And I love Acts chapter 2 because when you look at verse number 5 in Acts chapter 2, it lets us know that it wasn't just people in one place, but there were people from all over the world that came to hear this word. And what that lets me know is that God would have it that everyone come to repentance and be saved. And that's an encouragement for us tonight. That is something that we can smile and say, ooh, even me. Even me. And we're going to talk about that a little later because we know that sometimes we get in our own way. But tonight we'll talk about that. But I think about the first gospel message that was ever preached by the Apostle Paul. And here he is speaking to devout Jews and men from all over the world. And, of course, that included the families of these men. And so there were thousands of people there in attendance. And this message was preached. And what we got to understand is a little bit of history. We understand, and what we're going to read here in just a little bit, if you want to go ahead and put your finger on verse number 22, where we will pick up. We're going to talk about how the fact that Jesus had came down to this earth. And I want you to know that when Jesus came, he was going to change the thinking of everyone. When Jesus came, he was going to change the way that things worked for everyone. When Jesus came, he was going to make everyone look at themselves and see what they needed to do to be what he would have them to be. And the fact of the matter is, and we're hard on those figures that we look at in the Bible many times, but the fact of the matter is, when we look at ourselves, sometimes, many times, we resemble them. Think about the hard times that we've given Christ. And I know that he's not here physically like he was then, but guess what? He's still watching us. He still cares for us. He is still taking care of us. He's still pleading for us. And so in a little bit, I'm going to ask you a question. And it's also another song that I would love to reference. But let's begin at verse number 22 in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." And I like to make points as I go. When you look in verse number 22, I bet you many of you are saying, well, I haven't seen any miracles, I haven't seen any wonders, and I haven't seen any signs. But the fact of the matter is, when we think about the life that we've been living and how much worse our life could be, perhaps there's someone to give that glory to. Perhaps you've been a little low on change in your pockets, if you're like Brother Moss, and sometimes you got to scrub them together and hope that they increase. And when that happens, you know that it was by the grace of someone, and typically that's because it's the grace of God. Many times we pass off the many blessings that we are provided here on this earth as if they just happened. But no, we should give credit where credit is due. So although because of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 saying that all those other signs and miracles will pass away, although it doesn't look like it used to, we must acknowledge the way that it is now. Jesus is still at work in your and my life. Verse number 23 says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So understand this. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You mean to tell me the one that was sent here and was sacrificed and loved like no other ever will, and the greatest token of that was his sacrifice, which was his life on that cross, which is what you and I deserve. You mean to tell me that he was slain? He was murdered? He was crucified? And so the song that comes to mind, because sometimes I have to remind myself when I'm not living accordingly. Sometimes I have to remind myself when I don't have the attitude or the Christ-like conversation or actions that I should have. I have to ask myself, Joshua, can he still feel the nails? And the song goes on to say, every time I fail. And then it says, can he hear the crowd crying, crucify again? And I put myself in the shoes of the people that were in that crowd screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Those people that were laughing at him, those people who looked at him as if he was nothing but a mockery. And they spat upon him. And I wonder sometimes, am I making Jesus feel that same thing again? But we ought to be thankful that in verse number 24, the Bible says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. And then the Bible goes on to talk about some prophecies that David made known. But I want to skip down to verse number 36 as we get a little further into Peter's sermon, because in verse number 36, it picks up and it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. What do you mean, that same Jesus? That same Jesus that was murdered, that same Jesus that came here to do nothing but love and to save, that same Jesus that came not to condemn but to save, that same Jesus who did that not only for them then, but those before and us now, and those who will come after us if this earth so stands. That same Jesus who provided salvation. The Bible says that whom ye have crucified, God made him both Lord and Christ. And now I love what verse number 37 says, because this is when I begin talking to you. The Bible says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And so this evening, my challenge is, are we listening? Are we understanding that perhaps as I look out and I see that this world is in shambles, as I look out and I see that I'm not strong enough to get through this by myself, as I look out and I see that mama and daddy, grandpa and grandma, brother and sister might not even be able to get me through this one. As I look out and I see people struggling and I see people that are barely hanging on and I see some that haven't made it. And I'm wondering, what in the world can I do? Is my heart pricked when I realize that someone so long ago gave their life for me? Someone so long ago knew how this world was going to be. If you get the time, for the sake of time, I won't go there, but I will reference it. Go to John chapter 17 when we read about the prayer that Jesus made, not only for those that were there with him then, but he also prayed for those who would hear their word, and that comes all the way to us. Jesus knew exactly how this world would be. He knew the condition of this world. In fact, he was crucified because of the condition of this world. And so many times I've heard this year in 2020 that this is the worst year ever. But I disagree, because I know that this world has been in this condition for a very long time. But when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What a question. Because when I've been just as bad as I can be, when I've not been living like I am supposed to be, and here I am hearing a word, and perhaps I've heard it before, but I'm given another chance, and we need to say thank you, God, for another chance. Because these devout Jews are the same ones that scream, crucify him, crucify him. And when we're not living accordingly, we are those same people. But yet, here we are with another opportunity. Tonight, you have the opportunity. And that beautiful question, men and brethren, what shall we do? What does that question mean? What shall I do to be saved? What shall I do to not be destroyed by the condition of this world? What shall I do to not be a part of this world? What can I do? The Bible says in verse number 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? "For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I have to emphasize verse number 38 because it gives us direct instruction and it gives us why we're doing it. And guess what? It's nothing but beneficial for you and for me. We get all the benefits out the deal. We get all of the benefits out the deal. Jesus took the pain. Jesus bled. Jesus took the laughing. He took the mockery. He took the beating. He got up on the cross. Those were our sins that he was nailed to the cross for, but he got up there. And then what he told us to do is to repent and be baptized. How many of us, if you want to be saved, guess what? You have to repent and you have to be baptized. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3, as well as verse number 5, says, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." If we are not willing to change from the way that we are to be what Christ would have us to be, we will indeed perish. And I got to reference one of my favorite men of the Bible, and that is Paul, an apostle born out of time. And he goes on to mention how he is the worst of the worst. And his point is, if I can be saved by Christ, so can you. And so I want to talk to you all tonight because I want you to know that no matter how bad things have gotten in your life, no matter how bad of a person that you think you are, no matter how doomed you think your soul is, Christ died for you. You got to know that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And so what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every single one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Bible tells us that there is no other name under heaven in which we may be saved. Again, mama and daddy can't save us. Mr. Luther can't save us. No other name, in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is for the remission. And if you don't understand that, that means that your sins will be forgiven, washed away, cleansed, an opportunity like no other. But not only that, because you shall also receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I need to spend some time here because we've talked about the condition of this world. We've talked about the things that happen, and some of the things are inevitable, like death. The loss of a loved one. I have a very close friend of mine. He's a member of the church here at South Greenville Church of Christ that just lost his mother. And I can't imagine what that feels like. I can be here for him the best that I can, but I can't imagine what that feels like. But what I do know is that one of these days we will leave this earth and there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more tears. We will have to deal with no more sins if we repent and be baptized. Because only then are we heirs to the gift of the Holy Ghost. Watch verse 39. "For the promise is unto you," Peter said, speaking to them that were there, "but also to their children." But guess what? Not only their children, but also to them that are afar off. Guess what? We are afar off. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And we got to know that even though this land, this earth has been standing as long as it has, and things have been going bad seemingly all the time, we got to know that God is not slack concerning his promises, as the Bible says. But he's long suffering, he's forbearing, he's given us so much time to live this life in a way that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight, so that one day he can say, "Well done, die, good and faithful servant." And he shall welcome us into that place that Jesus went a long time ago to prepare for you and for me. And I got to stress that this is for everyone. If we turn to Galatians chapter 3, and I believe I want to begin at verse number 26, we can take a look where the Bible says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ," how do we get into Christ? We are baptized into Christ, "have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." So I don't care if you're a convicted criminal on the call tonight. Jesus can save you. I don't care if you're black, white, brown, Hispanic. I don't care what you are. Jesus died for you. I don't care what it is. Jesus died for you. But there are prerequisites. And tonight, the prerequisite that we are talking about is repentance and baptism. Repentance and baptism. Those blessings that we talked about will only be received if we are in Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The only way that we benefit from those spiritual blessings is if we are in Christ. And we just read Galatians chapter 3, where it says, in order to be in Christ, we have to be baptized in Christ. And so when we refer back to the message that was brought to those that were there on the day of Pentecost so many years ago, after Jesus' death, after they had crucified him, don't you love the fact that Jesus loved enough to save those who killed him? Don't you love the fact that Jesus loved us enough to save those who came way after them but are still mistreating him? None of us are perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but thanks be to God that he sent his son, knowing that we would fail. Knowing that we would not always get it right. Knowing that we would be weak, but thanks be to God that his strength shows through our weakness. Knowing that we would think that we would be smart. You know how smart the world thinks that it is, but in 1 Corinthians, our Bible tells us that God makes foolishness out of our wisdom. His wisdom is unfathomable, far beyond anything that we can imagine. Lastly, I want to turn to Romans chapter 6. And verse number 1 through verse number 6. Again, that is Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1 through verse number 6. Because I need us to understand that there's no shame in having to repent. There's no shame in admitting that I've been terrible. Again, Paul was very willing to admit that. He was one of your most devout Jews. He persecuted the church and thought that he was doing it the right way. And he thought that what he was doing was right. Even he had to repent. So in verse number 1 in Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" The Bible says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Well, how do we die to sin? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? How does his death have an effect on our life? If we repent and are baptized into him, then and only then does the blood of Christ cleanse us of our sins and make us heirs to the promise that was given. Verse number 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." That is all about repentance. That is all about turning away from the world and turning to God. That is all about the fact that God loves me enough to turn this sorry rascal, Brother Moss, into his child. Tonight, you can become a child of God. Aren't you glad that you don't have to be 100% perfect to be a child of God? Remember what I told you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ didn't come for those who didn't need help. He came for those who did. And so the Bible says in verse number 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of it, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man," y'all know we got to change. That's what repentance is all about. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And I want to end this message tonight with that message there. We do not have to serve sin. Although the world looks like it looks and it seems like we have to be every man for ourselves, like we're here all alone, remember that we're not. We don't have to serve sin. Remember that the battle has already been won. The war has already been won for us. Jesus has overcome death. He's overcome sin. We just have to fight the battle for the time that we are here. And again, remembering that God is not slack concerning his promises. Remember that we must have faith. Remembering those that were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12, who lived according to God's will, not yet receiving the promise, but knowing, having the hope that it would come. What a God we serve. If you are not yet a child of that God, if you have not yet been baptized into Jesus Christ, by the watery grave of baptism, if you read Romans 6, verse number 1 through 6, that is a burial. That is a burial. And just in case we don't understand, let me explain this. We talked about this faith. The first thing we must do is hear the word of God. How do we know to be saved? We hear the word of God. How do we do that? Through his written word. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What you must do then, I pray that tonight that I've done nothing but give you book, chapter, and verse on being on repenting and being baptized. But prayerfully tonight, as you have read with me, you can believe that even you can be saved. Even I can be saved. Anyone can be saved if we repent and be baptized. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We must believe that he is our Savior. We must believe in his word. Mark chapter 16, verse number 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There it is again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If I believe, I will change my life to live according to God's will. If I don't believe, I'm already doomed because I have no other way. Then I must repent. Luke chapter 13 and 3 again, in verse number 5, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. After then confessing, what am I confessing? What confession did the apostle make? That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Savior. You are the only way. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then I must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. I've already given you Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. I've given you Romans chapter 6. I've given you Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 26 through verse number 29. I can also give you 1 Peter and the chapter is 3 and verse number 21, where the Bible says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tonight I have given you the answer to the question that you've been having, what can I do to make it? What can I do to stay sane in a world that is falling apart? When people are hateful to each other, how can I remain loving? How can I remain compassionate? How can I be the mother and the father that I need to be? How can I be the son that I need to be, the brother or the sister that I need to be? The answer is always Jesus. And then I always end with living faithfully because it talks about it. I told you, we've been warned about how the world was going to be. The Bible in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Did y'all not know that the blessings that we receive, they're all gifts, nothing that we can earn? Why? Because we are not good, but Christ is. God is. So all we have to do is live faithfully. Live according to his will. And his will is calling us to repent and be baptized. There may be some of you here tonight, prayerfully, there are some of you here tonight that have not yet rendered yourself obedient by way of baptism. You have that opportunity tonight. You have that opportunity tonight. Don't waste this opportunity because God has given it to you. He's not slack concerning his promises. So therefore, yes, he will save you. But also, if you do not render yourself obedient, you have condemned yourself. But you have that opportunity tonight to be saved according to his will, to become a member of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, the church of Christ. It's his, and he wants you. You have that opportunity tonight. Why don't you come?
Thank you, my brother. We appreciate you, Brother Moss, so very much for that message. Certainly everyone ought to know tonight, to be saved, you have to repent and be baptized. It's very clear to us. God has given us instructions in his word. If we want to be a child of God, we got to do what does say the Lord. And if we ever lived in a time where people need to know the simple truth as they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, as he talked about tonight, those people simply asked, what men and brother, what must we do? So Brother Moss has told us, if everyone's going to be saved, must repent and be baptized, washed in the blood of the Lamb. They'll be a member of that one true church. You can read about it in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. That's the only one in the Bible. So if you want to become a Christian, you want to call tonight and you want to become a Christian, you want to be baptized, you want to repent and be baptized, why don't you get back with the person who invited you to hear this message tonight? I'm sure they're members of the Church of Christ. They wanted you to hear this truth, that you, their friend, their family, their co-worker, their loved one, this acquaintance, they wanted you to hear that you must repent and be baptized before everlasting eternally too late. Get back with them or email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Tell us where you are, your desire to be baptized, your desire to study more, your desire to have questions answered. Email us. We'll make sure we get those questions answered to whatever we can do to help you save your soul and make this most important decision of your life, and that is to repent and be baptized and added to the Lord's true church, that is the Church of Christ. If you want to go back and listen to Brother Moss' message tonight, it's recorded. It'll be on our website. It'll be on by tomorrow morning. It should be uploaded. Just go ahead and go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And there you'll find not only his message, but many others. Since we've been doing this program on all the various topics as pertaining to saving of your soul. So we encourage you to do that. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day you've given us, and we're so thankful for your love. That you loved us, that you gave your only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him, as you said through your word, should not perish. We should not perish after all you've done. And then he gave his life. Gave his life, and it was he who said, greater love hath no man than this, that lay down his life. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, your Son, for laying down his life and calling us his friend. Even though we are sinners, while we are sinners, he died for us, and we know that. Tonight, we're thankful for the message. We're thankful for Brother Moss, the message from his words, from his lips, that came from your book, the Bible. We pray now for the ears of those who've heard tonight, especially those who are not members of the church, your son's church, that they will obey before it's eternally too late. We thank you for our brothers and sisters across the nation who continue to join us and support our cause. We love you, Father. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Another great week. Tomorrow, I kick off last night, but Brandon started a great job tonight with Joshua Moss. Came by with another great guy, his father, tomorrow night. And Alexander Moss, dad, Annapolis, North Carolina. We talk about the one church. Now, you've heard us talk about the one church. We believe in the one church. He's going to talk about that tomorrow night because that's what's written. It's written as one church. And Brother Clinton Yarber on Thursday night, and his father's coming with us on Friday night. And then we got a great upcoming month of December. We got a month of December that you don't want to miss. We're going to close out with a bang this month, and we really want everyone to encourage. Let's pack the calls all this week and leading up to next week, where we'll step into the Supreme Court of Heaven. And this call will deal with the fact that God has said, forever, O Lord, his word was settled in heaven, and God's word has settled the matter forever about judgment, about same-sex marriage, about racial tension in the church, about abortion. We'll be talking about tithing, we'll talk about homosexuality. All the headliners will come on in December. We're bringing on some defenders of the truth. We will stand in court and defend God's word. we will be presenting to you the law of God, because the law of God has already been written by the Supreme Court of Heaven and has already ruled on these matters. You don't want to miss. We hope you'll join us. I hope I piqued your interest. Plan to join. Let's close out 2020. 2020 has been a tough year already. Let's go ahead and do it with a bang, Church of Christ. Let's take the gospel to the world. We love you. I'm Brother Tom and Brooks, host minister of the Nationwide Gospel Call. May God bless you. Have a good night, Shred.